Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I just believe God's going to do great things tonight and for us personally. Now, whether you know it or not, God is very relational. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, you have shown us continually how great your love is for us, even though we aren't always lovable, but your love, it continues on. Your love is steadfast. It's unconditional. You are truly good. And I know that what you want to show people tonight is your great love and how relational you really are. And I ask you to reveal, Father, all the things that you would say to us, to all of us prophetically. And I ask that you give it great clarity of words. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So these are strange times we're living in, and I get a lot of questions lately about what if, and which way is it going to go, and what do I do if, and there's a lot of questions in people's hearts, and even a lot of unspoken questions. I feel like God wants you to know that the single most important thing you can do during this season is stay close in to Him. And as I was praying for tonight, I saw a picture of God pulling someone into His chest. Just pulling them right into Himself, like a good father with a little baby. And that sounds funny if you don't see God in that light. You know, some people were raised in a religious church where maybe you only heard about the judgment of God or the anger of God. But the truth is, God is extraordinarily relational. He's the original Father, and He made us in His image. So some of the things we can learn about God, we can learn by our own nature. We love our kids, right? Even when they mess up, we love them. We love them even when they really mess up. Doesn't mean we don't have moments, right, where we wish they would do things a different way. But the Father loves you, and you can know that because He made you in His image. And so He is longing for His kids to really get not just a head knowledge of that love, but a heart revelation. And what a heart revelation looks like when it comes to God's love is that you get a knowing on the inside, my Father loves me no matter whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, no matter whether I do everything right or not. And I feel like I want and the Father wants for you to have such a knowing of that, that even if things are difficult, or even if you're facing something difficult, or even if you're worried about current events, or, you know, is this the end time? I get lots and lots of questions about this. This is tough stuff. But one of the things that I believe with all my heart is that the single most protected person, the single most covered person, sheltered person, is the one who is the closest to the Father relationally. Okay? God is more into relationship than performance. Right? And we know this because Jesus really rebuked the Pharisees, you know, we could say up one side and down the other. And He made it clear they were doing a lot of things right. Their outward manifestations, a lot of the stuff they did was right. But they were doing out of form and for show. There was actually in that day, there was a lot of evil going on in the temple. We don't know that. We don't think of it that way, but actually it's true. The Babylonian captivity. During that time, there was priests that were so just truly evil. So there was a lot going on. And then, of course, after that, when the temple, when they came back to Jerusalem, there was just a lot going on that was unclean, to be honest. And Jesus had, he said they were like whited sepulchers. In other words, their outsides looked great, but their inside was like a grave. That's what a sepulcher is. It's a grave. And what does a grave have? Old, rotten bones with all kinds of corruption, right? But you could paint the outside and make it look really great. And that's what a Pharisee is. And we have Pharisees today. There's a spirit like that that makes us feel like it's all about the outward appearance. But we are not to be so. Our relationship with God is to be heart to heart. And so what God wants His children to know is that you can know Him personally. He knows you personally. He loves you, and He wants to help you walk through everything. And so people ask questions like, do I store food? Do I keep guns? Do I, you know, what do I do? People are worried right now, and I get it. I totally get it. But one thing I think is real wisdom is to grow so close to the Father that He can whisper something to you and you just obey it. And I was giving this example to a friend the other day. Two young Christian men pulled into a gas station. This is a true story. And they pulled into a gas station to get gas. And the young man that was driving the car got out to get gas. And suddenly an urgency came upon him. And he felt like the Lord was saying, get out now. And there was such an urgency. And he obeyed it. He jumped in the car and took off without knowing why. And they got just about across the street. And the gas station exploded because someone had dropped a lit cigarette butt. It had touched some gas and boom, the thing went up. Now, if he had not obeyed that, God still gives us the choice to obey. There's a brother, some of you I'm sure have heard this man preach, and he shared how the Lord told him to go home a different way than his normal route. He was driving home. The Lord told him, turn right and go this other way home. And he thought, oh, that'll add 10 or 15 minutes to my trip. And he didn't do it. And he ended up having a terrible accident. And it changed the course of his life. Now, God still helped him. Even if you blow it, even if you disobey, God will still find a way to help you. But it will not be His best. And it will certainly not be the easiest. So the idea is to grow close enough to God that you can sense when He's saying something. And I don't want you to be confused by someone. I can hear somebody going, well, I don't hear God's voice. Don't narrow the box so much that you have to hear it like you're hearing my voice. Honestly, most people hear God from very different ways. Sometimes it's a sense. Sometimes it's an urgency. Sometimes it's just a knowing. Sometimes it's a scripture pop. Sometimes there's so many ways to hear from God. But the point is, when you build relationship with Him, God wants to protect you. And this is something a lot of people do not really understand. They still see God as angry or that His love for us varies with our behavior, okay? And that's actually not scriptural. God loves you, and He will always try to help you. He will help you. He wants to help us walk in holiness, no question. Am I saying, by no means am I saying holiness is not important. Holiness is vastly important, but for a different reason than people think. And so God wants us to know His love, because you know what? You will act holier out of love. You can get freer when you know God loves you. You can get delivered from addiction when you know God's love for you, right? You don't just, in fact, there are people who don't really have a heart for God that say, well, I'm forgiven so I can just go sin. That's not the heart of God. He wants you to know Him so well that you can explain Him to people. Because I'm telling you, the day will come and not too far off when people on the street who never were interested in God and never were interested in church will approach and say, hey, I heard you're a Christian. What's that about? Tell me about that. That day is coming very soon where people, listen, there's going to be things that come on the earth that I think a lot of people will be really scared about, and they won't know what to do. And they're going to come and say, tell me about God. What do you know about God? And what God wants is for you to be close to Him so He can speak through you or give them a word through you or explain Him in a way that's under the anointing. See, God wants to use us all of us, and that should become normal. I remember when God was teaching me how to listen and speak prophetically. Prophetic just means you're letting God speak through you. Now, He doesn't get a hold of you and make you speak. In fact, it's a matter of obedience. He'll suggest things to you, and you can speak them or not speak them. I could stop right now, click the finish button, and be done. But that would be disobedience, right? So when God has something to say, my job is to say that, and your job is to say that. And you might say, well, I'm not a prophet. It doesn't matter. In the New Testament, we all are called to be prophetic. We're all called to be kings and priests. We're all called to speak for God. And we'll all do it in different ways, right? We're called to love in God's behalf. We're all called to serve in God's behalf. And so God wants us to come so close that there's a oneness there. Like, we are so joined to Him that He can release His will through us. And so the reason that's important is sometimes someone will come to you, and some of the problems, I'll be honest, some of the problems that people are faced with there is no human answer. The complexity of it is too much. And they could come and ask my opinion, but in honesty, some problems are so complicated, there's no foreseeable good outcome. I have to have a word from God for that. Or I'll just give them, what, human wisdom? No, that won't help them. And so it really helps, because there's people in your family. I remember there were people in my family who really thought I was the goofy one. They didn't really want anything to do with God. And I remember my sister came to my home for had a big cookout. And she lived about several hours away, but she drove in to come to this cookout. And I thought that was nice. And then after the cookout, I was really tired and kind of honestly was ready to go to bed, but she kept wanting to talk. What I didn't realize until she told me later was she knew she needed God. And she'd come to a place where she said this to me later. She thought, well, I might as well go see Weird Holly, because she realized she needed what I had. I'm telling you, some of you are going to encounter this, where people in your family, you won't even know they're doing it, but they're going to start to ask questions. And don't worry, because sometimes the way they do that is to put an argument, to pick a fight. But it's not that they're really trying to pick a fight. They're trying to find out if what you believe is true. Sometimes a person who needs to know the truth will say, well, what about this and what about that? And it may come off as a debate. It may come across like it's been argument. But sometimes the person is actually seeking and they want to know, do you have the answer I need? So some of you are going to have family members. And I even think I'm talking to somebody who in the near future, you're going to have a family member or a very close friend come that you never thought would be interested. And why it's important, you don't just want to give them 10 pounds of advice. People have heard all the human advice they need. But when God gives you one sentence, it will go into their heart like an arrow. That's when it's really prophetic. That means God spoke it. He spoke it to you and you released it, because God needs your mouth in the earth, right? That's what the prophetic is. God needs your mouth. He needs your eyes. He needs your hands, right? He needs to use people to manifest himself through. Now, only the Lord knows why he chose to do it that way. But for his glory, he chose during this era, right, during this age, to reveal his glory and his presence through humans. And the honor and privilege we get is that during the course of our life, part of our sort of test in this lifetime is how well are we able to come to know him, relate to him, love him, serve him, and manifest him, release him. What is he saying? You see, because we've been given the opportunity to pull people out of the gutter. I'm talking to someone, you have a soft, kind heart, and you care about people that no one else seems to care about. You care about the ones in the gutter, the drug addicts, the ones that are too far gone. What's the word? Incorrigible. That means beyond helping. The ones people have given up on, you have a heart for them. And you know why you have that heart? Because God has given you his heart for that. And when he gives you that heart, he equips you. You have an equipping. And you might not even realize it. Sometimes people don't understand even why the personality type they have. But quite often, the personality type you have goes perfectly with the gifting you had. Edgar didn't get saved till he was in his 50s, but I promise you, he was a born evangelist. He was born bold, loud, and extremely loving. He was an extremely loving man. But he didn't know Jesus till his 50s, but he already had the natural gifting and housing for an evangelist. I mean, if I would have met him when he was pre-saved, I would have known this guy is going to be an evangelist, you know, because there's certain things God puts in you from birth. There's certain things that are part of you that God will bring to light. And so this person that I'm talking to, who you have a heart for people in the gutter, you also have something that the rest of us may not have. There's a special gifting to reach the downtrodden. There's a special love, a special care for them that they will respond to. People respond. This is something I learned from Edgar. People respond to love more than doctrine, more than arguments, more than being right or persuasion. All that stuff, it's not powerful. I watched Edgar win souls, and it was so easy for him. It was like picking fruit off a tree, just so easy. And I couldn't understand it because I never had that ability. I would try, and God would always send me to backsliders. It didn't matter who I witnessed to. They were already a Christian and usually a pastor's kid that was way backslid into sin, and because that's my gifting. And so God would send me to those. It took me a while to figure it out. But Edgar, he would win the loss just everywhere we went. It was just as natural to him as asking someone how the weather is. And he could do it in just a few minutes. It was amazing to watch. I remember asking the Lord, why is it so easy for him? I was a little jealous, I'll be honest. I was a little jealous. I wanted what he had. And I couldn't understand how. I knew it was a gift, and we could just, you know, say, okay, it was a gift, yay. But I knew there was something about it. And so God, when you ask God a question, he always answers, right? And so I said to the Lord, what is that? What is it about, Edgar? How does that work? Well, the very next time Edgar was witnessing to somebody, instead of standing beside Edgar like I usually was, God arranged for me to be standing by the person. And here's what I saw. I saw Edgar, he'd get a hold of their hand, and he'd look in their eyes, and there was something pouring out of his eyes from heaven called the love of God. It was pouring through his eyes. And when this love poured through his eyes for that person, it's like time stopped. And it's like there was nothing else on earth that mattered to Edgar or to the Lord but that person's soul. And Edgar wasn't doing it because it's our Christian duty. He wasn't doing it because it's some kind of performance thing or we're supposed to win souls, so let me go do this. That's how a lot of people do it. It's not very fruitful. Edgar truly loved that person. And more than anything, he didn't want them to go to hell. He didn't want them to suffer separation from God. He deeply cared about their eternal salvation, and he cared so much that it was pouring through his eyes. And here's what I saw. No one could resist it. The most rank sinner, God haters, I saw atheists, I saw all kinds of people who absolutely had no interest and made it clear they had no interest, didn't want to talk about it, didn't want to talk to him, thought he was weird, and yet when he would start to love them, when God would love through him, not one could resist. Not one. I saw all kinds of people, tears coming down their face, saying, yes, I want that. Because you know why? Most people have never really been loved. Not like God loves. Most people have never encountered love like God loves. Most Christians have never encountered the real love of God. They've been told about it. They have had knowledge of it. But what I really want you to get is a revelation in your heart. God loves me personally. Me. He loves me. Even though I'm imperfect. Even though I have faults. Even though I wasn't able to do that thing I think he wanted me to do. He loves me. And he's going to help me through this. He's going to help me. And what happens when you have that is you sort of join together. You almost, if I could give it words, I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try. It's like you, in that love, you become very close. You and God, you and the Father, you become very close. And then it isn't you trying to do stuff for him and feeling like you're failing and worrying what he thinks about that. It becomes you and him doing it together. And if you make a mistake, you could picture it like this. A little four-year-old boy with his dad in the workshop out in the garage. And of course, a little four-year-old boy, he can't swing a hammer very well yet, right? He can't hit the nail straight. And of course the dad isn't gonna, a good dad. You know, some of you were yelled at by your dad who just couldn't, you know, it isn't God, right? But the way God loves his children is he apprentices us. And he knows we don't know how to swing a hammer straight. He knows we don't know how to measure, right? He knows that we're just children. We don't know how to do heavenly stuff. None of us do. I don't care if you're like me, 64 years old, or if you're 30, or if you're 10, it doesn't matter. God knows that spiritually speaking, most of us are about 4 or 5 years old. We don't know a lot because heaven is so vast. It's heaven and heavenly things and the knowledge of God. It's so vast. There's no living human that knows even a fraction. You know, the most spiritual person on the planet only knows a teeny tiny fraction about God and about the kingdom of heaven. And we're to spend all of our life and, frankly, all of eternity, we're still going to be learning. And so the reason that's important to know is give yourself permission to be an apprentice instead of feeling like you're supposed to know it all. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I've been saved this many years. I should know this by now. I should have this right by now. Well, I hate to break it to you, but that's not how God looks at it. God looks at us and he sees, you know, it says he remembers our frame that we are dust. You know, he remembers the day that he took dirt and formed a man, right? And he remembers the day he blew the breath into that man. And he remembers the day that that man and the woman, that they blew it, they sinned. And he remembers the day that because of that, the Bible says, that death nature, that sin nature passed upon all men. Every baby that would ever be born except Jesus Christ from that day on, and that includes you and that includes me, was born with a sin nature. And so here's the problem. We were taught to do Christianity out of a sin nature. Well, your flesh is supposed to go be good now. Your flesh is supposed to love people now. Your flesh is supposed to not have addiction now. You're not supposed to be tempted now. You're supposed to be perfect. And because the flesh has no ability, because guess what? It's a sin nature. It can't do well. It can't. Your flesh can't really do good, right? And so God, what has happened is God said, you know what? They couldn't do it in that nature, so I'm going to give them a brand new nature. I'm going to recreate myself in them. And all they have to do is learn how to live out of that nature instead of their stinky flesh. Can you imagine? So God looks at us all as children out in the garage trying to, you know, hit a nail with a hammer and probably missing it, dropping stuff, trying to figure it out, looking at complex plans and saying, this is too hard for me, Daddy. How do I do this? I don't get it. You know, a good dad will stop and say, well, here, let me show you this. And he doesn't start with calculus. You know, God knows us. He doesn't start us with really complex things. We can't handle that. He starts with A, B, C, right? I don't care what your age is in the natural or how many theological seminaries you attended. There's a lot about God that he has to teach us. There's some things no seminary can teach you. No Bible class can teach you. There are some things that have to be taught and learned relationally from your Father. It's a fact. And so give yourself permission to be in the learning mode. Give yourself permission to just find yourself where you're at and say, Father, come and find me where I'm at and help me. Help me learn what's the next thing. There are some things God has to tell me over and over, and he never gets mad. He never gets impatient. Sometimes he has to explain it 50 different ways until I go, okay, I think I got it now. Do you mean this? And he never, ever, ever, ever gets tired of it because he loves me so much. He loves you so much. And that's the relationship God wants to have with you. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who learns from somebody. They hang out with the person. And in the olden days, we have some wrong thinking, I think, in our Western culture. And we think people are supposed to just be full of all this new revelation and impressive stuff. But in the days of Jesus, in the days, I'll say in what we might call Old Testament days, a true disciple lived with his master or his leader, right? And he lived with him until he could say exactly word for word what that man could say. And I would think a good disciple would be one that would do that until they could do it with that level of authority, with that level of unction, with that level of anointing. So you think of Elijah and Elisha. You know, Elisha followed him around until he could quote him, right? That was when a disciple was considered, I guess a true disciple was when they could quote verbatim what their master said. So think about it. If you are Jesus' disciple, we need to learn what he knew. But who can really teach us that? You know? Who can really teach us that? It isn't about head knowledge or memorization, right? Our head doesn't have the capacity to understand all that God's head understands, right? So we have to operate out of the mind of Christ, which is in the Spirit. It's in relationship. And so what God wants is to help us be apprenticed, and it's okay to be a little kid. It's okay. In fact, the Bible says you must come as a child. Because if you come as a know-it-all, a lot of people approach God and they know so much and, you know, they don't get very far. If you know a lot when you approach God, you know, he'll just be like, well, okay, you know everything. Have at it. But when you come and you say, Father, I don't know how to do this. I don't understand this. Can you show me what to do? What do I do next? I'm in the middle of a project with God, and we are doing it together. He's helping me because I can't do it by myself. It's a big project. It's a hard project. And so I have to go to him like every 5 minutes. Okay, now how should I do this? Do you want this first or do you want that first? We're working through it because he's building something. He's using me to do it, right? And in the end, it'll be polished and it'll be beautiful, but it won't be anything I did. I'm just his hands, right? I'm just his mouth. But this project will get done, right? But that's how we do it together. And God wants this concept to be part of how you do life, part of how you do everything. And you say, well, how do I learn that? You learn it by everyday matters, everyday things, little things like, oh, this recipe's kind of hard, you know, I don't have the right stuff. I'll just give you an example. During the initial lockdown, there's a place out in Colorado that I order this stuff from, and they could no longer send it. It's a mixture. It's something you use in the kitchen for recipes. And it's not a known. Of course, I don't know their amounts. It says on the label what's in it, but you don't know the amounts. And I could no longer get it, and I couldn't get it for about 3 months. So I went to the Lord and said, okay, I see that there's 4 ingredients. Can you help me with this? And God told me, now, this is going to sound funny. I could have spent 3 months reinventing the wheel like that guy did. He said it took him 20 years to perfect that recipe. You know how long it took God? About a minute. God told me the first try out of the box, do one of this, one of this, one of this, and 3 of those. And it was just perfect. And so I don't buy theirs anymore. I make my own. My point is this. I could have done it the hard way, or I can walk with God and he can teach me. And you might say simple stuff like that. Yes, that's exactly where you learn the voice of God, is in the little things. People wait till big things because they think, oh, that's not important enough to ask God. But the point is, relationship is continual. You know, if you're married and you're close to your spouse, you talk stuff through. You talk all the time. Hopefully you're talking every day and lots, right? What do you think about the garage? Should we put the shelves here? Should we build a workbench there? You should be talking back and forth. And doesn't mean you're always going to do what the other one says, but you should be weighing it, talking it through. That's called relationship. And some people don't have that with God, but he wants that. And I'm going to just tell you a secret. God wants your relationship more than he wants your performance. And here's something else that's really good news. If you get the relationship part right, your performance will be better than ever it was before. Because out of relationship, you'll find that difficult things just fall away, right? Temptations fall away. Certain things that used to be a problem, you just wake up one day, you go, hey, the thing, it's gone. And you know why? Here's a secret. The Bible says if your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is single. I looked that up for fun today, and it's not your physical eye. It's your mind's eye, or it might be called your vision, or my favorite word would be focus. If your focus is single, your whole body's full of light. If your focus is single. And I think a lot of our problem is that we're so multi-focused that God gets a portion of our focus. And what I find is, if I really want my life to be blessed and even enjoyable and even easy, the more that I focus on him, the easier it gets, and the more blessed it gets, and the more victory there is. Because the more single my focus is, the more my whole body's full of light. I don't want you to take on condemnation if you've never been able to do that. I want to teach you another concept that God has helped me with so much. I hope I can give it words. There are a lot of things in the kingdom that take a lifetime to cultivate. There are some things in God, you know, you just think, I'm just going to wake up and start doing this, and then you do it for 2 days, and then you fail. And I will tell you who is the queen of that, and that would be me. Okay. I told God a long time ago, some people have this nature that they're just so disciplined and they develop a habit, and by golly, they do that every day. Edgar was like that. I'm not. I wish I was. I'm not. God can give me something to do, and I'll do it for a few days, great guns, and then, you know. And so what God has helped me with is the concept of making it a journey and making that a goal. Instead of, I remember years ago, I was probably in my 20s, and I used to have this little room in my house called a breezeway, and it kind of connected the house to the garage. It was this beautiful little room. And I remember sitting there and God telling me to start a specific Bible study. And I said, oh Lord, you know, I'm my discipline issue with some of those studies. It's, you know, and I didn't want to start it because I knew I would fail. Do you ever feel like that? God tells you to do something. You think, oh, you just want to put a bag over your head. You just, oh, you know, I'm not able to do this. You know what God said to me? He said, I'd rather have you do it for 3 weeks and fail than not do it at all. And he said, see, the way God looks at it, you do it. And then if you fail, that's okay. You pick it up and you do it again. And you fail again, you do it again. You keep doing it. Eventually, it becomes something that you're very good at. And you can do this with any biblical concept, right? There's some things that we're, each of us is more prone to be able to do than others, right? For some people, witnessing is easy. For some people, prayer is more easy. Prayer is pretty easy for me. Study, not as much. Relationship, super easy. You know, other things, not so much. But what God has shown me is for us to be balanced and wise and long-term Christians, because you want to be somebody that's going to stay the course, right? You want to stay the course to the end. You want to stay the course, and you want to grow stronger and stronger, right? You want to be closer and closer to Him, bigger and bigger in your faith, stronger and stronger in your anointing, stronger and stronger in the power that you walk in. Amen? Right? You want to grow more and more unto the day. And, of course, we see that the world gets darker and darker, so how does that work? Well, what I found is there's going to be some things that are very easy for you. You're just prone to do them. It's easy for you. But there's going to be some things that you feel like, oh, I'm just not good at that. And that's normal for every single person on the planet. But what God has shown me is, don't look at it like something you're going to do for a while. Look at it like something you're going to learn to do over the course of your life. And it might sound funny, but give yourself permission to not, I don't want to say this wrong, give yourself permission, like there's something I'm trying to do that goes against every nature that I have. But I really feel like God wants me to learn to do it. And the way He talks to me about this is, you're going to spend your life growing more and more in this area until the day comes that you can do this every day of your life and do it well. You see how He's talking to me? Not like, do this thing and then I try to do it and maybe I do it a while and then I can't do it. And see, he said to me, you know, people sometimes win the battle, then they lose the next battle, then they get discouraged and they beat themselves up and they quit at whatever the discipline is, right? He said, I don't want you to look at it that way. I want you to look at it like this is a long-term war that you're going to win. And so you just keep, if you fall down, you get up. You fall down, you get up. You fall down, you get up. And eventually, because how does a toddler learn to walk? You ever seen a toddler just stand up one day and start walking and never fall again? Oh, no, no. No, the first time they stand, they fall down on their little butt, and it's kind of cute and funny. And then they stand up and maybe take a little half a step, and they fall down on their butt again. And how many times do they fall down before their little legs have the strength to kind of stand there and maybe walk a little? It's a while, right? It's a learning process. And I hate to break it to you, but that's us. That's a picture of us in every discipline. Whether you're learning to pray, maybe you say, oh, Holly, you talk about praying for an hour. I can only pray 5 minutes. That's okay. You know, pray five. Just set your timer and say, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. I'm going to pray in the Spirit 5 minutes. And when you get to where you can do that, bump it up to 7 or 8. That's not a big deal. Listen, God isn't he's not a legalist, believe it or not. God isn't waiting to hit you with a stick because you blew it. He is cheering you on the days you get it right, you know? I mean, if we were to look back over my life, I can tell you honestly, with almost every Christian discipline, I've had far more failures than successes. But the only difference is, when I was young, I wanted to let those failures make me quit. This is too hard. I can't do this. God, you know I don't have. That's how I used to feel. And God would never, he didn't look at it like that. He was like, come on, give it another go. Come on, you can do it. Just keep coming. Just you're like a four-year-old apprentice. You just keep swinging the hammer. You're going to get this, Holly. I'm going to help you. And eventually you're going to become an expert at it. You see? So God wants you to know that he really cares about you. And he really cares about your life. And he cares about the little stuff. And those projects you're trying to do, you know, take them before the Lord.
Yeah.
And first question is, if this isn't of you, let me throw it out. I don't want to waste time on something if this isn't your project. But if it's yours, I'm going to ask you to teach me how to grow in relationship until you can do this thing through me. And then here's what you'll find. When you do it that way, everything you do is blessed. Everything you put your hand to do will prosper. Every project you start, you'll finish and finish well. And people think you're smart because it wasn't you. It was Jesus Christ telling you how to do it. Every turn, every step. Okay, now let's try this. You say, that doesn't make sense. Try it anyway. So what's happening? You're learning to trust him. What's trust? Trusting Jesus means knowing that he's smarter than you are.
Yeah.
That's the first revelation we need to get is, I don't know and he does. And that revelation I have. And so that's why I can build something, because it isn't me. I can go to him and say, I don't know how to do this. And even, let's say I even did know, kind of. Let's say I had some knowledge in an area. You know what? I still won't do it without his input. I won't. Because I've learned that if I build something, it could fall down. But if he builds something, it's built for eternity. When God builds something through you, that's why the Bible, listen, you know, the Bible calls us his co-laborers. He's a co-laborer with us. He is building the building with us. You know why it says that? He won't do it without you. And you can't do it right without him. And so what a lot of people do is they say, well, I'm called to ministry. God told me to start a church. And then what they do is they go off and they start the church and build the church after all their own ideas. They're doing it. That's called doing it in the flesh. They get an idea. And how many times have I done something like this? I remember I had a bright idea one time and it wasn't God. And I didn't submit it to God the way I should have, right? I forgot. Frankly, I forgot. And so I went to Edgar and I said, oh, I got this great idea. And we spent money and we did this thing. And it was the biggest flop you ever saw. Flop. You know why? It wasn't God's idea. We went ahead with this big idea in the flesh. Sometimes people start businesses in the flesh and then ask God to bless it. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. And he has businesses for you. And he doesn't mind blessing those. But what he won't bless is a work of the flesh. And so what I find is submit everything to him. Submit your plans to him. And if he says, that's not me, pitch it. Because he's got something better that is of him. And when he builds the house, you know, what does it say? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. And that's really true. So he's our co-laborer. And what God is even more interested in this than the house. You know, you're building a project for God or a ministry or a lifestyle or whatever it is. That's good, but what's better and what God wants even more is the relationship you develop on the way. God's after your heart. He's after you more than your produce. He's after you more than your ministry. Did you know that? I mean, God promised me ministry years ago, and I somehow, before I understood these things, I thought, you know, you feel like, well, if you were used of God, then you'd have some value. No, God values you from the time of your conception, really. When you were formed in the womb, I knew you. He loves you. Whether you ever produce or not, whether you're ever used of God or not, that's not what brings your value. You are his kid. That's what gives you value. And you have value in him, whether you ever get it right or not. Did you know that? God loves you if you spend the rest of your life trying to get it right. But what he loves is the heart that says, I want to do right. I love God so much. I would do anything if I could walk holy. I would do anything for you, God, if I knew how, but I don't know how. That's the heart he loves. And so let God connect with you and work with you building things, whether it's a ministry stuff, school stuff, work stuff, business stuff. God's an expert at everything. And learning relationship with him, really what it is it's growing in that trust factor that he sees the end from the beginning and he knows how to do it right. You know, he knows how to build the thing. And he knows how to make it shine. And he'll actually let you look real good. I remember when I was working in IT, There was impossible tasks, impossible projects, and God would help me do it. So it just would just shine, and people would be like, wow. You know, and they would credit me, but the truth is, it was him. And I knew it was him, and he knew it was him, you know. And he gets the glory, because he's the smart one, right? He's just looking for our hands, our mouth. But it will only work if it's in conjunction with what he's saying. So I really believe God wants to draw you close into his chest. He wants you to know that he likes to walk with us through everything. If you're walking through fire, you're not walking alone. If you're walking through fire, you're not walking alone. You're walking with Jesus, and he's walking with you. The Son of God is real good in a fire, and, you know, he doesn't always put the fire out like we want him to, but he does walk us through it. And if we stay with him, if we keep your focus on him, he'll walk you through it, all the way through it, and you won't even smell like smoke when it's done. He'll bless you. You'll come out and you'll look back and say, I can't believe how he did that. That's amazing what he did. That was impossible and he did it. And the real trick is to keep your focus on him. Don't let your focus go onto the fire. Don't let your focus go onto the trial. Keep your gaze on Jesus. And he'll walk you through it. And by the time you're done, by the way, you'll be a lot stronger. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.